Richardson.
And where were you born?
I was born in Clay County, Minnesota.
And who were your parents?
My parents were Ole and Susie Ingebrigtsen.
And what did they do for a living?
They were farmers.
Okay. How many children in your family?
In my first family.
Yeah, brothers, sisters?
I have three brothers.
Okay. And where did you go to high school?
I went to eighth grade in a country school.
Okay, country school in the Moorhead area?
In this area.
Okay. And did you elect to go into the service, or were you drafted?
Well, I tried to go elect, but at first they didn't take me, but then I was drafted and they took me.
Okay. Okay. So how old were you when you went into the service?
I suppose I was 23, I think.
Okay. And what branch?
Army.
And where did you go for your training?
Well, I was inducted at Fort Snelling, Minnesota. Then we went to Fort Bliss, Texas for training.
Okay. How long were you in Texas?
Oh, I suppose about 10 months, I guess.
Okay.
Then we went on maneuvers in Louisiana. Then I got a furlough and came home for a few days, and then we went to Camp Swift, Texas for just a little bit. Then we went on a train to San Francisco. Then we went overseas.
And where did you go overseas?
To the Southwest Pacific.
You were on a ship?
Yeah.
How long were you on the ship?
On that one, I think we were on the ship for 23 days.
And what was that like?
Lots of water.
Was it a crowded ship?
Oh, yeah. Good.
Any
season? It was an old ship. And it had been used for a... They said it had been a banana boat to haul bananas from South America. I don't know that. But it was old.
And
we went all by ourselves. There wasn't anybody, no convoy or anything. We were, all that time, we saw one other ship off in the distance.
23 days and only one ship in sight. Wow. Did you have any seasickness?
No, I didn't get seasick, but I was close.
Yeah. So where was the first port after 23 days?
We went to Puerto Numia at New Caledonia.
And what was that like?
Well, that was kind of a nice island. It was a French island. And we stayed there just a short time. When we went there, we didn't have any equipment with us outside of our own rifles, I guess. And when we got there, then after a while, we got our trucks and other equipment to go there. But that was a nice place. We lived there for 3 months.
3 months?
I think.
And once all the equipment arrived, then what?
Then we loaded back on a ship, on another ship again, and then we went to Guadalcanal, Solomon Islands.
And what was that like?
jungle and mm-hmm. mud.
Yeah.
Although the main battle on Guadalcanal had been over with when we got there, and it wasn't so bad, but there was a there was an ammunition dump there that blew up when we were there, and it was kind of bad. There we lost most of our trucks again.
Really?
So we had to get them again then, there again. And we were there for I remember we were there Thanksgiving Day. Then we loaded up on another ship and went to Bougainville.
Now, what year was this?
Never been. Let's see, we went to Army in 1942. Well, this would have been 1943.
Okay. And where did you go from that canal?
From Guadalcanal?
Yeah.
We went to the island of Bougainville.
Where's that?
Well, that's another one in the, in the Solomon Island chain.
Oh, okay.
But it's further north than Guadalcanal. Guadalcanal was a, let's see how to say it, was a turning point of the Pacific War.
Mm-hmm.
After that, the Japanese never got any further than that.
Mm-hmm. What was this island like?
More jungle, more mud, more mosquitoes.
More mosquitoes?
There was an active volcano on that island, and it smoked all the time we were there. We weren't so far from it. And at night we could see the cloud that come up out of it, and it was all red from fire underneath it.
Fear of it just, you know.
Blowing up?
Yeah, blowing up.
Well, I suppose after I was back home again, I found a picture in a Life magazine, and a pilot or a plane had been flying over it, and it did blow up.
It did.
Yeah.
After you'd left.
After we left.
Thank God, yeah.
We had earthquakes there just practically every day.
Earthquakes?
Yeah.
Really?
It wasn't. Well, sometimes a truck would roll back and forth on the ground. And
wow.
Of course, there were no buildings, so there was no damage, I guess.
How was the food supply on those islands?
To start with, it was sea rations and hardtack. Not too good, but we made it all right. After we'd been... After the war went on a while and we were on Bougainville, then we were there in a big battle on Bougainville. After that was over with, then things started to get better. We got better food and stuff like that.
Now how long were you on Bougainville Island?
I think we were there probably... Oh, I'm just guessing, but 8 months probably. Mm-hmm. We were there quite a while.
And what were you doing at that point, during that time?
Well, I was a Jeep driver all the time, and that was my main job. I drove a Jeep for the battalion commander. It wasn't a bad thing. Yes, it was. Well, we had some good times and we had some bad times.
Yeah. Did you have some special buddies that you to know during that time?
Yeah. I suppose that our outfit was probably more so that way, to get better acquainted with. Because when we went to Fort Bliss, it was the start of a battalion, to just being formed.
Mm-hmm.
So we took our training there and then we stayed right there with it. We didn't get transferred to any other unit.
Mm-hmm.
Then we went overseas together.
Mm-hmm. So had to be some pretty good friendships.
Oh yeah, sure.
Any special stories that come to mind during those those days back on those islands?
Oh, I suppose it's a good toss. We seemed to, we didn't have anything outside of the, whatever was issued to us to live with, so whatever we needed or whatever we wanted, we made it. Sometimes one guy made a washing machine
Really?
Yeah.
A washing machine? What did he make it out of?
He made it out of oil drums. One drum was larger and then a 50-gallon size, and he cut it off about halfway. Then he made the tub for the machine. He made it out of a 30-gallon drum, and he set it inside of this. And it was connected up with some shafts and things so the drum would turn in there. Then to make any power for it, well, we didn't have any power, so he ran a stick out there and from the side of it, and then he run another stick over to a truck wheel that is jacked up a truck wheel and took off one of the lug bolts on the wheel and jacked it up and started the engine, and that would rotate.
That would get the agitation.
Mm-hmm. It worked pretty good.
Wow.
And then I was kind of liked radio so much, so I made a radio when I was there. We didn't have any power or anything, so we made a radio that didn't take any power.
How'd you do that?
Well, you don't never heard of a Crystals radio, I suppose, have you?
Sorry.
Well, you have to have a radio station close, and we had a station on the island after we'd been there a while. Their armed forces set up a station, and it wasn't so far away. So all we had to do was put up an antenna on the trees and have a ground rod and a ground wire by our tent. And I made the radio out of some coils and things, but you have to have a crystal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we didn't have a crystal. So I read in a magazine or something about how to do it, and we took the lead out of a storage battery and melted it. And I should say that I was in the motor pool, so we had access to tools and things like that.
Okay, that
helped. And we melted this lead, and when it got to be a certain temperature, it was molten lead, and the instructions said to put sulfur in it. So we got some sulfur from the medics, and we dumped sulfur in there, and it flamed all over. And when it cooled down, we broke it apart, and there was little bits of crystals in there. So we took those little crystals, and we took them apart and mounted them into some rifle shells that we cut up. Just for something to put it in. And then by doing some other wiring and into the coils and stuff, and then we, in order to hear from it, you had to have earphones. Well, that's something else we didn't have, so we stole them from the signal cord.
From the what?
From the signal cord.
Oh, you got some from them.
Yeah. They didn't know it.
They didn't know it. Whatever works.
Anyway, by the time we got it done, we had that little radio set up, and we had 5 sets of earphones between 2 tents. We did pretty good.
That's quite the achievement.
Where are you from?
Pardon? Pardon?
I said, where are you from?
Oh. Where did you go after that island? What was next?
Well, then the next island was New Britain, which is another one in the chain. And I just was there for just a little bit, and then we moved again to New Guinea.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were there for a while, not long, maybe at that time they were getting ready to invade the Philippine Islands. And that was kind of a staging area for that. I suppose we were there maybe 2-3 weeks or so.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I guess we lived on the ship all the time we were there.
Mm-hmm.
Then after that, this would be then late part of 1944. Just about the end of 44, and then we made the invasion of Luzon Island and the Philippine Island. And we landed at some place called Lingayen Gulf.
Where?
Lingayen Gulf. Oh. It's in the northern part of the Luzon.
And how long were you there?
Well, let's see. When we took off from the ship there, get on shore, it was on the 9th of January, I think, and it'll be 45. And then we were there, then we were spot all the way down the island until we got to Manila. And the Battle of Manila was real bad.
Were you right in the war zone?
Oh, yeah, oh, sure. Well, all the way down that island. I suppose I could tell you about the liberating some prison camps and so.
What was that like?
Well, the one camp I went to the army had been through there and the prisoners were already taken away from there. But that was an awful place. Yes, real bad. That was the survivors of the Bataan Death March. Mm-hmm. And then when I was in Manila, then there was another prison camp, although that one then was not military people in there, that was civilians in there. And that was in the Santo Tomas University. And Japs had taken it over for a prison camp. And them people were still there. Never saw living skeletons before. No. And that was... Then after that was put on with by... That was... getting toward the end of the Philippine campaign then.
And all those camps were liberated then?
Yeah. On that island anyway. So then it was... They were getting ready then to invade Japan. But then the war had gone so far then that there were so many people in there that they, ones had been there the longest, and they said, well, you'll be able to get home on a leave. And it wouldn't count against your furlough time, it would be just a temporary duty. You know. So I had points enough. They went by points. For all the months you was overseas and the length of time in the service, you got so many points. Anyway, I had points enough, and they said, well, when the ship comes in so you can go, or you can go home for a while, but you got to come right back. So that voyage took 27 days to go home.
So 27 days to go home. Yeah. And how long did you get to be at home?
Well, when I got back home or back to this, United States, we got landed in San Francisco. And I was on a train someplace from there to back here when they dropped the first atomic bomb. Mm-hmm. So then I guess that I forget how long a time I was supposed to have. But then the second bomb that they dropped, then the war ended. So I got a notice that leave was extended. And I didn't have to go back for service until October, I think it was. And then I just went back and got discharged.
I see. And where did you have to go back to get discharged?
Oh, I went to Camp McCoy, Wisconsin.
Okay.
And that took us 2-3 days.
Yeah.
And it was true.
So how long a time were you overseas?
Mm-hmm.
2 years, over 3 years, was it?
Yeah, let's see. I think May of 43 until July of 45, I guess.
Yeah.
So 2 years and some months.
Yeah. Did you receive any medals, any awards?
Well, yeah, just quick. I got a rifle expert, and then we got battle awards and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have the Asiatic Pacific Campaign Medal for just 2 or 3 battle stars.
Mm-hmm.
Must be 3, I think. And let's see, Philippine Island Campaign. Something else I don't remember.
No doubt you were thrilled to be discharged. What did you do with your life after that?
Well, then I just got married and started farming.
Okay, so you went back home?
Yeah.
Did you have a girlfriend during the time you were away at war, or did you meet your wife after you returned from war?
Oh, we'd been going together, but we didn't get married until afterwards.
Okay. And so you've been farming ever since?
Yeah. Yeah. This farm we live on was homesteaded by my grandfather.
Terrific. Beautiful place. Do you have any final thoughts about what you went through during your years in the service?
It was quite an experience.
Mm-hmm.
I sure wouldn't want to do it again.
Yeah.
But then I'm not sure I want to do it either.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get hurt at all, so that was something.
Yeah.
I got close a couple of times. The Jeep got hit once.
Do you still keep in contact with any of your friends?
Yeah, there isn't many left anymore. Just very few are left anymore.
Have you attended any reunions throughout the years?
You know, we never had a reunion. Just, I mean, as a whole group.
Uh-huh.
But I got together with a lot of them. We used to drive, take vacations and drive in the wintertime and just go.
Uh-huh.
And it was kind of fun, you know.
Yeah.
As on the road, then I'd stop and see people.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fun.
Yeah.
And then some of them came here.
Yeah.
Quite a few came here. One came from Georgia. Some came from California. Well, all over.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Mr. Ingebrigtsen, what do you think about the war that we're fighting now in Afghanistan, the war on terror?
Well, that's an awful thing, but it has to be done.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what would happen if we let that go. Mm-hmm. They just can't.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever think terrorism would hit our soil?
Never. That's something we never even thought about, you know, way back.
Yeah. Seemed to happen everywhere else but here.
Huh?
It seemed to happen everywhere else but
yeah,
here.
Yeah. Yeah, when it happened here, it's it sure woke up everybody.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Ingebrigtsen, how would you like to be remembered?
Well, I don't know what to tell you. What to say there for that. You mean for something special or just a...
No, just how you want people to remember you. Oh. How you'd like your family to remember you, your friends.
Well, I hope they think well of me.
Someone who served his country?
Yeah.
Farmer?
Yeah. That's all I ever did was farm. Oh, I did a lot of mechanic work and stuff at this time, too. Mm-hmm.
Anything you'd like to add before we finish?
Well, I'm... remember we were at church somewhere here in North Buffalo, and I've been a... treasurer of that for, I guess, three different times. And, mm-hmm. and I remember the roll of treasurer's reunion over there.
Yeah, that's a big event.
That is a big thing.
Yeah, bigger every year.
I've been there, I think, every time they've met, that, or every year that they've been in business, accepting maybe twice,
mm-hmm.
which is quite a few years.
That's terrific.
And I'm a charter membership of the World War II National Memorial.
Good for you. That's wonderful.
That's finally getting started.
It's about time,
yeah.
isn't it?
Yeah.
It's about time.
Mm-hmm.
Something that's been long overdue.
I never figured out why it just took so long to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's going to be quite a place.
Yeah.
Have you been to Washington?
No, haven't been there. And now I do want to wait until that's complete.
Yeah.
It'll be wonderful to see it when it's finally finished.
Yeah, we went to Washington. Well, my daughter and son-in-law lived out in Pennsylvania, so... they took us to Washington two times, and that was quite a thing.
So you got to see the Vietnam Veterans Memorial?
I don't think we saw that one, but okay. We saw quite a bit, and we certainly went, we spent a lot of time at the Smithsonian.
Oh, interesting.
And the last time we were there, we spent most of the time at that, I lose names all the time. The place that they moved, or got started over there, that's a replica of the German war prison camp.
Okay.
What did they call it?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, I know what you mean.
It was quite a thing.
That's terrific. Anything else you might want to share?
Well...
do you remember the day you came back home?
Oh, yeah.
Was it a big celebration?
Well, we came in the ship, and we came in a big fog. The sailor said we were getting close to land, so everybody was looking.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing we could see was the San Francisco Bay Bridge hanging in the fog.
Nice, beautiful sight.
Yep. And then people came on board to give us milk and cookies and stuff like that.
Nice. No doubt it was wonderful seeing your family again.
Yeah, it took, I suppose, another 3-4 days to get back home.
Yeah.
Nobody did any flying at that time, it was all trained.
What was it like walking into the house the first time, seeing your mom and dad?
Oh, I guess I don't have anything to say about that. It's just nice.
Yeah, good to be home. Thank you very much, Mr. Ingebretson.